And I was, you know, I've never had a beard. I've been worked in the food industry, wear hair nets, and every time you go into a food plant, you see people with beards, and it's all bundled up, and that always drove me nuts. So I never grew a beard. But beard facts, you know, braided beards are stronger than rope. So a braided beard is stronger than rope. And then there's also beard etiquette, which I didn't know, but if you have a beard and you come across another man with a beard, and his beard is longer than yours, and you're going into a door, he has the right of way. So the man with the longer beard, maybe that's an Amish thing, I don't know, but there's beard etiquette. So, which is kind of funny, because yesterday we were at this over by Garden Spot Village, actually, there was a farm that has this I don't even know what it's called. It's they sell stuff. They have some food. They have, you know, like a little fair, like a little type of thing that, you know, crafts type of thing. And then there's a guy there selling beard products. So there's beard oils. There's beard cream. There's beard wax. They have jewelry for your beard. Beard beads, I mean, rings, all sorts of stuff for your beard. But at the end of the day, some guys don't buy the beard product, and they choose to save their money and put it into their shavings account. This morning, enough of the jokes. We're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit as we've been looking at the Spirit. Starting from when Jesus talked about the Spirit, of the purpose of the Spirit that is going to come to convict of sin and righteousness and bring truth. That's what we're looking at today, of what the Holy Spirit does on truth. And we know when the Holy Spirit was given, that he's released for the world, for Christians, and then the gifts. And now the outcoming, what we're looking at this morning, from the Spirit is active in our life. The fruits of the Spirit that are active as overflowing, that overflows into our life, right? So that's what we're looking at this morning. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we just pray as we open your word, you speak to us. Lord, we know there's so much stuff going on in the world. And we, as believers, we know that you're coming back, and we know that we have salvation in you. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have in you. And we watch the times, and we watch what's going on in this world. And Lord, we just pray for peace. And Lord, we know that what will come will come. And we just pray that as we live our life, that we will gear our minds and our hearts to continue to hear your Spirit speak to us, that we can be, that we can reach the community that we have around us and our family members, and help us be good stewards of the gift that you have given us, Lord. We pray. So the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. We're going to start in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. We'll read this through. The listings of the fruit of the Spirit. And then we'll talk about it here. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So we kind of break this down. And we look at this, which we know of, we're supposed to live by the Spirit. The Spirit's working in our life, and we are filled with the Spirit, and we know that when we accept Christ, the Spirit comes into our indwelling, and that we know, as believers, that, because we are that sinful man, right? We are that sinful man. And we have those desires, and they are with us from the time we are born. But yet we know that we have to live by the Spirit. That's where that contrast comes in. And that starts to grind on each other, right? It starts to hit us from both sides. The sinful man that we have that is so prevalent in our life, and our spiritual man that the Spirit just indwells in us. There's that battle. So the sinful nature is shown by that list. And the sinful nature talks about the acts. It's an act. It's the fruit of the Spirit. There's the outcome, right? So if we have the fruit of the Spirit, it's not an act. But the sinful nature, as Paul talks about here, is an act. Because he talks about the act or the action. And he lists those out. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, he goes on. And we know these are common. This is this battle that takes place. When I was in college, there's a friend of mine. We were studying church ministry studies together. And we were both married. And, you know, great guy. Happily married. We studied ministry together. We prayed together. We looked at the Word together. We had classes about church history together. All this stuff that we did together revolving around the spiritual side of life and the spiritual side of who God is. Now, he went to go on to be a youth pastor and working in a church. And, you know, one day he said, oh, well, here he was arrested in a prostitution ring. What in the world? Well, here, simple man. He was addicted to pornography for many years and never told anybody. And that sinful man, that the fruit of the sinful man eventually grew, and that grew out of the sinful nature, grew the fruit of what? Of his continuing to sin and not confessing that sin and struggling with that. And the fruit of his sin took him to that point. That was his fruit of that. Obviously, over time, he left ministry. His wife stayed with him, but that's another story. Came back to the Lord and really done a remarkable job with his life. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, all those things are the sinful man. Fits of rage. Sometimes we think, well, you know, hey, I have control over the sinful man a little bit. I'm pretty good with my sin. You know, I'm not out being sexually immoral. Or I'm not out being impure. But jealousy, fits of rage. Fits of rage. I have a problem with rage sometimes. One time I had a weed whacker. Stupidest thing ever, and I still get to the day when I think about it. This is probably like 25 years ago. I couldn't get this thing running. So in my fit of rage, I threw it out in the yard, and I said, I'm not touching that thing. And it sat there for a year. Right? It threw up all around. Like, it was a fit of rage, right? This stupid weed whacker. I have since realized how bad my rage could be. I've really worked on that over time. But this weed whacker stood out in the middle of the yard. Well, that's dummy, right? So that was my fault. But those fits of rage can cause things. The sinful nature that we have. A couple years ago, about 20 years ago, there was a guy, he's 19 years old, he's a skinhead, and I was talking to a friend of mine to speak about it. He was at his trial. In a fit of rage, one of our sinful nations, in a fit of rage, someone made fun of him for being a skinhead, and he stabbed a man, he died. And that fit of rage at that moment changed that guy's life forever, and he's in prison the rest of his life. So his fruit of the sinful nature, that fruit, which came out of his fit of rage, was a lifetime in prison. We also have selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. Another thing that people look at, oh, I can drink a little bit, or, you know, I can control my liquor. Again, I had another friend. We were in high school. We went to prom night. All this guy wanted to do, he wanted to be a pastor. His whole life, he wanted to be a pastor. His dad was a pastor. He wanted to be a pastor. Prom night, went to the prom, and got drinking, and got his girlfriend pregnant. And one thing led to another. He got married, divorced, and his life went to turmoil and went to chaos. It happened because of the fruits of his sinful nature, right? Fruits of his sinful nature. How they're acted upon. The acts that take place in our sinful nature bears fruit of sin. Fruit, and we're not here to talk about the sin, we're here to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is working in our life as it should be. As Paul talks about, it breaks this down, the things that are so contrary to one another. But if the Spirit is working in our life, the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and our walking with the Spirit and understanding and listening to the Spirit, those things should bear fruit, shouldn't they? In our life, just like the sinful nature. The sinful nature bears fruit, the consequence. The Spirit has the same impact on our life. What are they? We talked about in verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those things are fruits of the Spirit, which we so desperately need, don't we, in our society today. We look at, even right now, we look at what's going on in the Middle East, the battling. We pray for peace, right? But will there ever be peace in the Middle East? I think when Jesus comes, we have new heaven and new earth, so probably peace in the Middle East. But we have, there's not peace from a people that has battled and battled and battled. But that's more of a nation, but we look at ourselves. Love. We have love in our life. People are dying and looking for love, craving love. There's studies out there of how many people are lonely, how many people are just out there because they don't have a love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The first one, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. These things that the Spirit has available for us in our life. It's kind of like, and we see that contrast because Satan doesn't want us to have these things, right? He wants us to say, wow, the sinful nature is way more fun, and there's no lying. Season of sin, everyone says, hey, the season of sin, it can be fun. You get the consequences, you get the fruit of that sinful nature that comes back. But the Spirit. If you look at self-control, which I always thought this was interesting, self-control, one of the last ones here, of the fruit of the Spirit, it's kind of like the guard of all, a self-controlled spirit. The spirit, which we know from Jesus, when we talked about, Jesus talked about, the spirit will guide us in truth, right? If we are being guided in truth, the gifts that are given to believers, which we talked about and looked at some of those last week, and you looked at the assessments, right, of the gifts, all those things help us to be in self-control. Self-control is one of those things that we see with the action of the sinful man. Because a lot of times, like me, throwing that weed whacker, what happened? I didn't have self-control. And, you know, as you get older, you get wiser. Now I don't throw my weed whacker, now I go buy a new one. if I can. Self-control. Proverbs talks about self-control. It says this, Proverbs 25:28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Proverbs, before the Spirit was given to the church, talked about self-control. Because we know King David, right? We know the problems that David had. He, perfect example of what the sinful nature, the sinful man, on contrast to the fruits of the Spirit. We know David had an affair with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, and then killed her husband, which was his friend, right? And so, yet, he looked at his life, and then someone intervened and said, hey, you need to look what you're doing here. The sinful man was driving him. And then he changed his life, right? And he changed his life, and Christ, God came in, filled him once again, filled him with the Spirit, and he began to walk faithfully with the Lord. And he was forgiven. He was forgiven. That's one thing that so many times people forget, and churches forget. We aren't the judge. We are here to love people. Because we all have that sinful nature. We all have it. And we are to love people. We're to help people. We're to encourage people, to bring them to the point of, this is who Jesus Christ is in your life. You need to walk by the Spirit. And that's where, in verse 9, 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. That whole process, that whole mindset that we're looking at there is we're walking with the Spirit, just like there's a young child. A young child just doesn't get up and start walking. Do that. No, I mean, they fall down, they bump their head, they bleed, they, you know. So after having six kids and seeing how kids do everything, I'm just like, it's amazing any of us ever live. I mean, really, it's sometimes I'm like, how in the world did we all get here? Because you see what these kids do. But just like walking in, as you learn to walk, a child learns to walk. It takes time. They fall down. A new believer falls down. They fall back into sin. They roll back out. They're walking. They're walking in step with the Spirit to try to figure out to get rid of this sinful man. And the fruit of the Spirit over time then begins to produce its fruit in our life as Christians. If we were a farmer, if we had two orchards, if we go out to, and I think in our, the hill on each side of us, go out. If you have a vineyard over here planted with grapes, right, the whole side of the mountain planted with grapes, and they have fruit that's growing there. And then on this side of the mountain, you have apples. And there's another orchard that's planted with apples on this side. And you look, well, what fruit? If you plant all these vines and vineyards, and you plant all these apple trees over here, just like we're planting stuff in our life, right? We're planting either the sinful nature, or we're planting things of a spiritual nature. What's going to grow out of these vines over here? What's going to grow? Grapes, peaches. You're going to go grapes over here. What's planted is what's going to grow. And over here, they're going to plant, they planted the apples, and what's going to grow? Apples. It's pretty simple. And that same analogy, that same concept is what talks to us about our life. Is if we're planting the sinful nature, and we aren't continually walking in step with the Spirit, then we're going to be a mess. Our world, yeah, and honestly, let's step back. We might not be a mess. We might look fine on the surface, right? We might look like we have it all together. We might have money in the bank. We might have our family looking great. And everything might look great for that person. But if they're not walking in the Spirit, guess what's going to keep happening? At some time, at some point, that fruit is going to produce. And after, say, time and we perish and we die, the fruit from the vineyard or the orchard, that's we're going to come back. What are your fruits? What are the fruits that we are putting into our life? Because we're either going to live by the sinful man, or we're going to live by and have the Holy Spirit produce fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Are we, as believers, if the Holy Spirit, Christ talked about the Holy Spirit being speaking truth into our world, into our life, into our hearts. How many times, and we talked about this before, are we listening? Are we listening? And that also comes down to, are we listening, being clear to hear what Christ says to us through the Spirit about reaching other people? Are we talking to other people about the Lord? Are we talking to, and not judging in any way, but talking to other people within our own family about what the Lord wants us to do to help with this circumstance about what's being planted? Are you planting things that are going to be fruit-bearing things of the Spirit? And that's something that, as a church, we can look at as well. Because I believe as a church, we want these things. Right? We want love in the church. And I'm not using the saying that we don't have that. We want love. We want to enjoy. I talked to somebody this past week, and they were going through a rough time, believer, and they were really depressed. Really depressed. They talked about the Lord, and they were like, yes, I know I need to choose joy. And a lot of times, isn't that it? A lot of times, we need to take our eyes off of what? Off ourselves. The selfish ambition. Selfish ambition of ourself. That selfish ambition is also a sinful nature problem, not a fruit of the Spirit problem. Fruit of the Spirit is goodness, patience, joy, peace. When we roll back to our sinful thoughts, our sinful patterns, those things are producing what they produce. Problems. Through the Spirit, Christ, does not want us to live in turmoil. Jesus wants us to live in peace. He wants us to be living in joy. 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm going to read this real quick. Says this: for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, of weakness or wimpiness. I love God did not give us a spirit to be a wimp. God did not give us a spirit to be God gave us a spirit of power. He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy 2:7. God's spirit that was given to us. So many times we back down. So many times we don't step out. So many times we don't want to offend. So many times we just let people walk on us sometimes, or we don't bring up what needs to be brought up because we're being wimps about our spiritual life. We're being wimps. We don't want to hurt somebody. I'm not saying we're counting somebody or hurting somebody. What I'm saying is, if the Spirit is working in our life as we should be, then we are filled with the Spirit. If we are walking in the Spirit, what do we see? The Spirit that is given to us is a spirit of power. Power. Not to glorify us. Not to glorify our bank accounts, not to glorify anything else other than Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of the Spirit. But the Spirit, if it's working in our life that we are given, that Spirit that's given into our hearts is a spirit of boldness, not fear. And especially right now, if you're seeing, man, all week all I heard was end times, because you have Israel, Hamas. You see 2,500 people in the earthquake in Afghanistan that died. So there's all this fear going on. And you know what? Hey, we know Jesus is coming back. We know the end times are going to happen. And it might be 1,000 years from now. I don't know. I'm ready. Take me now, Lord. Just get me out of here. Right? But that's this fear mongering that's pushed. We don't have a spirit of fear. And as Christians, we can't walk that way as a spirit of fear, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is having that goodness, that faithfulness, that peace and joy, that love that also 2 Timothy talks about. As we go out this week, ask yourself, we did the spiritual assessment. We looked at, we just talked about the Holy Spirit for a couple weeks now. Is the Holy Spirit talking to you? Or am I just talking to, you know, the wind? And I say that to myself. Am I reading this? Am I studying Scripture? Am I preparing a message to really live for the Lord and have the Spirit work through me in the spirit of power? Or am I just doing this for a Sunday morning? I don't want to do a Sunday morning. I have no desire to do the Sunday morning. I want to live for the Lord, right? I want this church to live for the Lord. I want these pews filled up with people here that are excited to talk about and understand the spiritual dimension that Christ has in our life. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I want the Spirit to speak to me. I want the Spirit, that power of the Spirit, to work in my life, in all our life. I want my orchard to bring this fruit. You know, I don't want the sinful man fruit. I've had enough of the sinful man fruit. We need to go forward and have the fruit of the Spirit being produced in our life. People will see that fruit. My prayer is, as we continue to pray, as we continue to work for the Lord, that there'll be a spirit of fruit that people will see. Hey, they got some apples hanging off of them. Where did they get those apples? Yeah, you know, those types of things, those things that the fruit that are produced, that fruit that's produced in our life through the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know you have given us the spirit of power. The spirit of power is to glorify you. Lord, I pray that the spirit of power in our life affects us as we look at this scripture today, that we have so many different contrasts. We have our sinful nature, which pounds us, Lord, and you know that. And then we have the fruits of the Spirit, and the Spirit that is full of power, Lord. Help us to hold on to that spirit of power. Help us not to live in fear. Help us to live a self-controlled life that we can reject so many times in our sinful nature. Lord, I pray for our families. I pray for people in here that have family members that maybe have walked away from the Lord, that are living the sinful nature. I know we all know people, Lord. You know our hearts, and so many times we have mistakes. Lord, help us to live according to what you call us to do through Scripture, out of love for you. And I pray that we will have those fruits being produced in our life, that people will see those around us. I pray for that joy. I pray for that peace in our life. Lord, we thank you for today. In your name we pray.